and Kathy Dawes now, along with Governor's Military Council Executive Director Perry Wiggins, and welcome him today. And just thought we'd kind of take a look at the current state of the military. We're hearing a lot of things at the national level, local level, with Fort Riley so close by, and lots of budget talk. And do you even know anything, Perry?
Well, you know, I'm almost afraid to say what I know, because just about the time I tell you, it will change. For certain, you know, the omnibus was approved, and that took us out for several months, additional months. So we're fortunate that we didn't continue with the continuing resolution that only covered us for a week. And a lot of people, you know, say, well, you got money for a week. What does that do, and how does that impact you? Well, really, it's operating on last year's money. And so for commanders and for military leaders, what it does is creates really unpredictability. And so they're hesitant about expending capital or cash that they may not have at the end of the year, and it'll affect readiness and affect training.
But as you say, you just have to kind of watch almost daily, I think, just to see what's going on in the Pentagon, Washington, D.C., you name it. And there's a lot more to look for that way. But it seems like there's an uptick. I know that locally we got word, of course, this past week that 4,000 from Fort Riley heading out to Operation Atlantic Resolve. So, I mean, we're hearing of that. You mentioned when you came in, I know the Guard and Reserve, they're actually sending some folks. We, one of our own, in fact, will be heading over that way. So lots going on.
Yeah, well, you know, contrary to popular belief, when somebody announced that, you know, we're no longer at war, we still have about 190,000 soldiers in 140 different countries around this globe standing on point for the nation. And Kansas and its military is absolutely engaged, from Fort Riley to McConnell Air Force Base to our National Guard members that you mentioned, the 35th Division, which is headquartered at out at Leavenworth, Kansas, just did their deployment ceremony this last Saturday. So many citizens here in the state of Kansas who belong to the Guard are going to deploy as a division for the first time since World War II.
Well, you had mentioned the budget as always in flux. Can you walk us through the timeline on that? I think we've gone over this with our listeners before. Your predecessor, I think, probably did. But I think it's good to remind them the process involved. There's a lot involved when you come up with a defense budget. I mean, it's difficult.
It is. You know, for example, the president, for a lot of positive things going on. The good news on the military front is we're not talking about sequestration right now. That used to be the term du jour, and it used to be the all-encompassing term in the military was we're going to go down from 570 to 490 to 470 to 450 and then 420. And we've kind of stopped that gradual descent, and now we're literally looking at increasing. As I mentioned last month, 28,000 on the Army side, and our National Guard's going to increase as well. The problem is the president lays out the requirements or his request, and then it's up to Congress to basically get a budget approved that fulfills those requirements. And the problem we got right now is with the current budget that was approved for the next several months, we do not necessarily have the money that the president requested for those increases. So I think what we're going to have over the next maybe couple months is a lot of negotiating going on. Because everybody on both sides, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, sees that a strong military is an important thing to have.
Congressional delegation, I'm sure you have some fairly good rapport with them or work with them quite a bit, but I'm sure that locally you work with them and maybe they have an inkling where we're heading on some of these things. I don't know. What are you hearing?
Sure. You know, the good thing about Kansas is it's a military-friendly state, and we're blessed to live here and serve here. Our legislators are very, very in tune with what's going on in our military. They want to see growth, not only in force structure, but in mission. They believe, as do I, that Kansas is a great place to have the military position because the people outside the wire and the installations embrace the military, and it's a very positive experience. So I see our legislators, to include Congressman Estes, who's the new congressman, it took over Mike Pompeo's district when he fleeted up to become the CIA director, are all positive, and I'm getting positive return from their staffers as well, that they're pushing really hard for the military in Kansas.
You were saying you're not hearing as much on sequestration, and I guess BRAC kind of goes hand in hand a little bit with that, or what are you hearing about base realignment closure, anything? I mean, that's always kind of the dreaded, you know, but it is something that comes up periodically.
You know, everybody, and what's really surprising is a lot of individuals that I run into think that BRAC is new, and it's not. BRAC's been around for a long time. There's been three different iterations of BRAC. It's back. You know, we have the service chiefs sitting in testimony saying that they have 22 to 30% infrastructure overhead that they don't need, and that sustaining that particular infrastructure impacts their readiness. So, BRAC is back. I think, to be honest with you, as you take a look at it, it'll be probably handled a little differently. I think we may be seeing some BRAC language here in our future, and we just have to stand ready in the eventuality that does get approved, and make sure that we work on the value of Kansas installations to protect them from a BRAC.
Was it just a few years ago that they had the huge meeting here? And I know you maybe weren't directly a part of that, at least not in the role that you're in now, but all of the congressional delegation got up and spoke, several community folks, a couple thousand people showed up for that, and a lot of support. Are we going to see something like that in our future again, do you think, where we're actually pleading for them to kind of stay in our area?
Well, you know, I mean, the Army put out really it was an Army town hall to listen to concerns of community members all across the United States. Now, I will tell you that Fort Riley is blessed once again because we had, thousands of individuals that showed up. I watched it streaming live on my computer in Texas. It was very impressive. But I hope we don't get to that point. But if we do, we will absolutely make sure that the Army understands and hears the concerns and gets questioned by those who are impacted by our military here. A lot of people don't realize, but here in Essential Flint Hills, the military, the economic impact overall of our military is 45% of the economy in Essential Flint Hills.
Now, any danger with the role that the Governor's Military Council does? I mean, you know, as we look at funding concerns, and I don't know how that all plays into it, but things are still, you're still able to do business as usual, I presume, or?
Well, you know, the state funded me at the same budget as last year, so I felt pretty positive about that. I get 60% of my budget from the state and 30%, or basically 40%, 35-40%, from the communities that surround installations here in the state. And, we're sort of dependent on that money, not only for my position in the council and the things that we do to support our military and advocate, but also for really our consultant we have in Washington, D.C., which is the eyes and ears there for the state and really looks out for the interest of Kansas and really Fort Riley, Leavenworth, McConnell, and Forbes Field and Smoky Hill.
And now that you mentioned, I do remember Riley County Commission there, you know, you address them. I'm guessing you address other groups in other parts of the state where you have to.
Well, I'm always open to do that. Number one, it gives me a platform to be able to talk about the military, and I'm always open to talk about the military. And it also gives me an opportunity to talk about really how that works here in Kansas. We have a lot of veterans that have called the Central Flint Hills home, and we can't forget them either. Although that's sort of a line of effort that's not in the Governor's Military Council, because I wore the cloth of the nation for 34 years, I make sure that veterans are taken care of because they're a treasure, and they deserve the recognition that they get, and they deserve the benefits that they earned. And so, yeah, I always look forward to going out and talking. And I've talked to many Rotary clubs, and other organizations specifically about the military here in Kansas.
Let's go ahead and take a break. It's now 9:45. Again, we have Perry Wiggins, Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, lives in the area, Chapman area, but you're close enough. And again, you're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.